Each of us have had an experience of transformation, events in our lives that have irrevocably altered the pattern or course of our lives. Those of us who are Christians see these events as moments in which Christ was more palpably present with us, when God seemed more involved and active in the world, most especially in our piece of the world. Sometimes the events that transform us seem like a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we refer to these as mountaintop experiences, not unlike the experiences we hear of in our readings today. Whether devastating or ecstatic, there are moments in life when we are acutely aware of the presence of God, a God who is involved and is shaping us and molding us, a God who wants us to realize his presence and see him in all things and in all people. In our reading from Exodus, we are told that Moses has returned from his trip to the top of Mount Sinai. It's there that he meets God and is given the two stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Unbeknownst to him, his face is glowing with the radiance of God. That kind of radiance is frightening to the people. Being in the presence of the Almighty obviously has some very evident effects. And one might think that people would be drawn to this radiance like moths are drawn to a flame, but they aren't. In fact, they take a step back from Moses instead of a step toward him. So Moses puts on a veil. He puts a barrier between the people and the glow of God that has come upon him. Jesus, too, goes up to the mountain, and which exact mountain is widely debated. He and three of his close friends climb up to the top, and there Jesus is joined by Elijah and Moses for a brief encounter of the miraculous kind. And his face and clothing are changed to a brilliant, dazzling radiance. Like Moses before him, Jesus, too, glows with the radiance of God. The effects of this certainly got everyone's attention. They took notice. Peter wanted to capture the moment, to bottle it, to hold it safe forever. We have no information about how James and John reacted, but it seems that this event left them speechless. They needed time to process what they had just been a part of, what they had just seen. This is so often the case when God acts in big and obvious ways. The reality of what has happened requires time to process. Yesterday, the outreach summit of the Diocese of Alabama was held at St. Stephen's in Birmingham. Folks from all around the diocese came together to share and learn about the many outreach ministries taking place around our diocese. Time and again, folks got up to share their experiences, and when they did, they spoke about building relationships, about moving from a place of us versus them to a place of we. In each of the presentations, there was talk of barriers of misunderstanding being torn down and walls of separation being removed. One 17-year-old senior at Mountain Brook High School talked about his experience at special session at Camp McDowell last summer. Special session is a week at camp where folks with special needs come to be at camp. The campers are mostly adults, at least in biological age and size, and they have varying degrees of needs. Many are in wheelchairs, and many need to be helped with even the most simple, basic life needs. This young man, Logan, had never been a counselor at special session before, and he openly shared his anxiety about volunteering for this job. He had worked at Sawyerville Day Camp for a couple of years and really loved it, but wasn't sure at all that he had the skills necessary to be a counselor at special session. His friends cajoled and coerced and even shamed him a little, so Logan begrudgingly signed up. In special session, each counselor is paired with a camper, so it's a one-on-one counselor-to-camper ratio. Logan's camper was a guy named Zach, who has cerebral palsy and is confined to a wheelchair. Logan had never even pushed a wheelchair through the glassy tile floors of a hospital, much less tried to maneuver it through the treacherous terrain of lower camp at Camp McDowell. He felt totally inept. But his insecurity, anxiety, and fear was quickly dashed as Zach, a seasoned veteran, both to the wheelchair and to lower camp at special session, took the lead and became the mentor to the counselor. And you know what? As I watched Logan retell this story of his time at special session and his experience with Zach, his face began to shine. As the smile widened across his youthful face, he radiated with the glory of God. Because Zach and that experience, Logan had an up-close personal experience with God. Before heading over Red Mountain to the Outreach Summit yesterday, I made my way through the cavernous belly of UAB Hospital to the bone marrow transplant unit to visit a new member of Grace that was diagnosed with leukemia within a month of joining our church family. Leukemia is no walk in the park, and a bone marrow transplant under the best of conditions can test one's endurance to the limits. And this has not been the best of conditions. There have been two steps forward, followed by three steps back any number of times, with the most recent stay at the bone marrow unit lasting 25 days. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's have all been spent in isolation. An experience of this depth and length is exhausting for the patient and for the family, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The toll shows in his body and in his eyes. And as he began to talk to me about how hard this has been, his words shifted from words of frustration and fear to words of hope and anticipation. As he began to describe for me how he wanted to come back to Anniston and make a difference in the world, to provide food for hungry people or shelter with those who are homeless, to help those in need, and maybe somehow help those going through similar ordeal as the one he's in the midst of right now. Here was someone who has been teetering on the edge between life and death for 100 days, who's making plans to help the less fortunate. And you know what? As he talked about his plans and what he wanted to do, his face that is almost devoid of color began to shine with the light of Christ. His eyes that just moments before were flat and dull began to radiate and twinkle because in his plans, he experiences the glory of God and it radiates through him and fills the space. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, talks about the veil of Moses as a veil over the hearts of the people of God. When we turn to the Lord, that which veils our hearts and our minds, that which hardens our hearts and minds, is removed. He says to us, all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see the glory of God? Do you see the radiance of a face that experienced an up-close and personal encounter with God? Someone who has been transformed by, through, and in Christ? If your radiance is fading, I invite you to be a part of the many outreach opportunities here at Grace and in our community at large. Giving of yourself to others, engaging with others, opening our hearts to others is the quickest and most effective way to have an up-close and personal experience of God. The image of God can be found in each and every person we encounter. Remove the veil. Open your eyes and your heart and watch for that glow. You can find it everywhere. Maybe even in the mirror. Amen.